You are listening to the Myth TV Cast. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Myth TV Cast. My name's Pat Davila. With me is Dan Fry.
How's it going, Pat?
Excellent. Dan, you're on the phone. Alrighty. Well, everybody, it's been a while. Unfortunately, it's been too long. We tried to get together
2 weeks ago or whatever, but it just didn't end up working out.
Yeah, we tried doing it the week before we went to South, and it just didn't happen for whatever reason. But we're here tonight, and we came back from the Southeast Linux Fest. We had a very cool time. I enjoyed it.
It was awesome. I did too. I had a blast.
Long drive, man. We left.
Oh, it was.
It was like how long was it? 12 hours because we hit traffic.
Just shy of 11 hours. Just shy of 11 hours we were.
Yeah, we had a lot of traffic going down around the DC area. I tried leaving early, but I actually overslept a little bit, and we didn't get.
I know. I was calling him. I'm like, we were going to leave at 4, and I'm like 4:30. I'm calling him. Man, Pat, wake up! Where the hell are you?
You know what happened? The alarm went off at like 3. I got up, I opened my eyes, and then I reached over and shut it off and went back to sleep.
Yep. Yeah. You know what? That happened to me most of this week then, too. So I'm still recovering.
Yeah, you know what? When I get up in the morning, it's much later. That's my body going into autopilot and saying, you don't want to get up now. So we did get down there, and it was a long drive. But once we got down there,
It was just before 4 o'clock or so.
On a Friday.
We got there, on Friday. Some guys were already at the bar. They were at the bar at 11. Dan and Chad Dan Washko and Chad Wallenberg were there since about 11 o'clock drinking.
And it showed.
We just joined in there, kept that party going till a good, 1 o'clock in the morning or so, right?
Yeah, well, I wasn't speaking until Sunday, so I had no problem.
You can pair it up.
Yeah, I had no problem, throwing a few back. And also on Friday night, they had for the speakers, the presenters there, they have a dinner just for them. And I went to that, and that was excellent. I actually had dinner with Mad Dog Hall and the Digium guys. There were two guys from Digium that were presenting.
Yep.
And a couple other people. And it was pretty cool. Had some good conversation.
Yeah, speaking of Mad Dog, I got to spend about a good 25 minutes just talking with him. And I tell you what, we talked about all kinds of different things, from my kids to the Oracle Sun, merger to, his trips to, Ethiopia. He gave me some Ethiopian money, which was kind of interesting. He showed me his tattoo. He got a Tux tattoo. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's a real interesting guy, Mad Dog.
We talked about all kinds of different things.
He's a real nice guy, too. He's been around a long time. He's very knowledgeable. Sure. He knows a lot of people. He's been around. Good person to talk to. All around a great guy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that time that I got to spend with him.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. And, it was great meeting up with, a lot of our friends, fellow podcasters and people just in the Linux community. And it was a blast, We partied Friday night.
This was only my second show, so I got to meet a lot more people face-to-face that I typically interact with in IRC now. And I had a blast. I really did.
Yeah, there was a decent amount of new faces there at Southeast Linux Fest that weren't there at Ohio Linux Fest. Let's see, Claudia Miranda, he was there. He's the co-host of Linux Basement now. We met Gadget Guru, nice guy. We met Pat.
Yeah, how about that? I wasn't even expecting. I didn't hear anything from him that he was coming down or anything like that.
Well, I knew he was coming down.
That was great to see him. Oh, did you? Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Also, Patrick Archibald, he was there too.
Yep.
And he was very nice. He actually brought an antenna for me to use in my presentation, and I thanked him for that. And he actually said he didn't stick around for the presentation on Sunday. He left on Sunday morning, and he said, "Yeah, keep the antenna, no problem." So that was very nice of him, Pat. I appreciate it.
That's awesome. Yep.
So my Saturday was pretty busy. A lot of people walking around. I wasn't too crazy about the way they had the whole place laid out. It was kind of a weird setup that they had.
where the tech show booth was set up. That was kind of way back in the corner.
Yeah, they stuck us.
Get in those doors that were right there.
Like trying to hide us back there, but that wasn't just us. So
what the hell, Dave Yates? Come on.
Yeah. You know what it is? This was the first time they were in this hotel. In the previous year, they did it down at Clemson University, and it was a little different setup. And it was actually a shorter ride to this than the previous year if I had gone, but I didn't. And it was about an hour and a half closer, so I'm not complaining about that. Mm-hmm. But it was at a hotel.
Nope.
And having the event at a hotel, you know, has its pluses and minuses. I mean, the facilities were nice. But they nickel and dime you to death. They charge for internet access. I mean, they have free Wi-Fi like in the lobby area, and that's about it. Maybe the pool area.
Right.
But the internet connection at the actual conference was like non-existent. So my Nexus One on T-Mobile saved the day for me. I used the crap out of that thing, and I actually wound up using my cell phone, tethering it to the Tess Smith box. In my presentation, and that saved our bacon. And we actually had another experience, too. The guys from Zareason, which is a small independent computer seller from California, you know, they just do Linux boxes. And they had a table there set up with a bunch of different machines, you know. And one of the boxes
one of them happened to be a myth box.
Yeah, would you want to talk about it? Go ahead.
I was going to say, one of them happened to be a myth box, and... I don't know if they got wind that we were there, but they needed some help getting everything reset up and scanned so they could get some channels. Where we were at, we didn't quite pick up much with the antenna that they brought, but we were able to get a couple channels. We had some cartoons going for a little while, and you know, it took us a little bit, but hey, we were able to get the antenna scanning, and once we got it in the right location, at first it was under the table, but once we got it up and running and up high enough, we were able to scan and get some channels up, and everybody could see firsthand a Myth TV box set up right there, working, running live TV, and it was a pretty neat experience that people could walk by and just see that right there on a monitor.
Yeah, they were selling one of the boxes. They're selling a small form factor box, pretty nice box. You know, did you see the specs on that thing?
I didn't get to see the spec. We did open it at one point, but I didn't get a chance.
I think it was all Intel in there. The graphics card was NVIDIA. And they had a hot pot capture card in there, one of the digital cards, the newer ones.
Yeah, it's the 1250. That's one of the ones that I run as well.
Right. And that worked. When what the issue was, the guy from Zareason, he wasn't very familiar with Myth. And, you know, anytime you change locations with a box that's doing over the air, even with cable, you're going to have to rescan everything. So, you know, we made sure that the actual card was working, the driver was working, you know, was loading up correctly. So we just went into Myth setup, the Myth TV setup, and I had a lineup in Schedules Direct for Spartanburg because I was going to use that for my presentation. So we tethered it to my phone. We logged in, we went and pointed it to the Schedules Direct lineup for Spartanburg for the over the air. And as soon as we did that, it started doing the scanning, and it started pulling down the, you know, we were able to watch live TV through the tuner. And like you said, the reception wasn't all that great. We were in the middle of a hotel, in a hallway in the conference center down in the bit lower areas of the hotel.
Yep.
But it worked. You know, we were able to get a couple, you know, stations tuned in, and you know, have it all set up, and we helped them out. And they make some nice stuff for a reason. They're not that different from System 76, which is another small vendor similar to them. They're not related or anything. It's the reasons from California. I think System 76 is in Colorado. But I, you know, both of those vendors are highly recommended. Check them out, see what they sell. You know, if you want to buy a machine with Linux pre-installed, they're both good vendors. I know people who have purchased from both of those guys and have very good experiences with both of them. And that's the reason. And then let me see. Sunday, I did my presentation. It was at 2:00. Now Sunday afternoon, a lot of people left, and it really cleared out. I mean, Saturday was pretty busy. If I had to guess, I'd say they probably had about, I don't know, 600 people, maybe 700 people in that range.
Yeah, something like that, I would say.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of what they were expecting anyway, was about 700, 750 people or so.
Right. And Sunday, the place is cleared out. And I did my talk at 2:00. I had about, I don't know, 30 people
in
there.
I was in the Drupal camp all day.
Yeah, you were in a Drupal camp because you got sent by your job, so they were paying for it, so you had to go to that.
Yeah. I had to go, yep.
Yeah, well, so I did my talk. I had about 30 people in there, which was pretty good considering, you know, the place cleared out. And from what people were telling me, that was probably for Sunday at the same time. My talk was probably the most well-attended out of the other ones compared to the other ones.
I would say so, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I guess I should have done it on Saturday. I probably would have had, I don't know, 70, 80 people, 100 people in there, maybe. So that was that. The talk.
You know what, though? All in all, I think everybody it was your whole presentation, because it was 2 hours, which I think was the only one that was 2 hours, very well received. I think there was a lot of good questions that came out of people. We got some people who had experience with MIFT TV in there, as well as some people who either in one respect or another they're I don't want to say afraid, but it almost seems like it was too too confusing or what for people. But I think you were able to really put across that it's easy enough for anybody just to pick up one of the live distros, either Mythbuntu, Mythdora, you know, the Linhas project, any one of those, be able to get a decent system up and running in a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah, it was a nice, you know, mix. The talk is definitely going to be, they recorded it, they videotaped it, as well as the audio recorded, and they will make that available relatively, probably within a month, that should be available. So what I was planning on doing was taking the audio recording and just splitting it in half. Since it was 2 hours, I'll just release it on a couple different episodes on our feed. What's weird is when you're up there talking, you know, you really lose all sense of time up there. And when I was up there, the guy operating the camera, he had like these big cards, and he would flash, you know, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if that was an hour or 2 hours, but what wound up happening when he did that, that was just for around an hour mark because he needed to change his videotapes. So I wasn't sure. So like during a presentation, like he's doing like 2 minutes. I'm like hurrying up, trying to, you know, talk about other things. And then he stopped and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry." He goes, "That's just a change of videotapes." So then, you know, he started the second part and I just continued. I went back a little further and I picked it up. But it went pretty good. You know, I tried, you know, shown what the system was, you know, what the basic functionalities, what it looks like. And then I started drilling down into detail, you know, on my slides about, you know, the components that you need, you know, the video cards. I talked about remotes, your IR blasters, some of the things that people get hung up on. I tried to be as thorough as possible. It was good because, like you mentioned, it was good that there were experienced Myth users in there. And, you know, they chimed in with their own experiences. It was good. You know, it seems there's a lot of people out there who, like, dip their toe with Myth. And it kind of, you know, they got turned off by it and backed off of it, you know.
Right.
Which is unfortunate, but you know, I think it's easy enough now that if you're intermediate level Linux user, you could easily set it up, I think. You know, there's enough documentation, definitely. There's enough help out there, you can do it. You know, if you're the type of person that's not afraid to, you know, install a program, follow a how to, you know, it's not that hard. You know, so like I said,
I thought it was interesting too. There in your presentation, I'm gonna mess her name up, but she was the lawyer who was presenting there. Wendy
Seltzer.
Seltzer. Yeah, I was talking with her because she was asking some questions after the presentation had ended. I had no idea that was her. You know, asking some of these questions about Myth TV and whatnot. So it was great to meet her, even though I didn't actually, you know, get to meet her by name or anything.
Yeah, like she's that. Real bright, and we had her on the tech show. Mm-hmm. She worked with the EFF for a bit, and she's taught university. Right. I think Washington University in D.C., and she was teaching out in Colorado. She's great, Wendy. She's been using Myth TV for quite some time, and she's written articles about her experiences.
Couldn't make it to her talk on Saturday, and I was kind of hoping to get to that one.
Yeah, she gives a very good talk. But the nice thing about Southeast Linux Fest is all the talks will be available, the videos as well as just the audio. So all that stuff will be out there. So even if you did go and you missed the talk by any chance, you know, you can go and listen to whatever you like. And I didn't see much. I only saw a couple talks. You know, I caught a little bit of...
I got to quite a few of them.
I saw a little bit of Bradley Kuhn's talk.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit of Dan Washko's.
Yeah, actually, I got to all of Dan's presentation on the bootloader. I had some similar issues with with my last upgrade. I think I mentioned that, and I had posted about it on Buzz about getting dropped to a grub console as I tried to boot my back-end server up. And so some of that stuff kind of all played well together. I posed some good questions to Dan then, too, about, you know, how does this whole process change now with things like there's the Linux BIOS, you know, that you can install to replace the existing BIOS on your machine, how that changes everything. Or I saw, like, MSI is doing some new, like, web-based BIOS updates and stuff like that. So I don't know. It was something very different than what I had seen before. So, you know, it's something he said he's going to look into. So hopefully we can get a little update on that from him at a later time. I was disappointed, however, with some of the talks that I did see. Not to really focus on the talks or whatever. There was one on the Linux Terminal Server project, which I did not care for. It honestly, that came across to me as one failure after failure after failure after failure, but I never actually got any real resolution from the guy as to what he ever did to resolve any of the things. But it almost just seemed like he tried it once and it failed, and tried it twice and then it failed, and then tried it three times and then it failed in different schools and whatnot. And I don't know. I just didn't quite understand it. I'm trying to think of what else I had gone to. There was another one too that I just was like, I didn't quite get, you know, what the person was really trying to come across with, you know. Frankly, the keynote too, the keynote for the end of the day, I wasn't too impressed with that either. I thought that was kind of all over the place as well. But aside from that, I enjoyed all the other presentations that I went to. And like I said, all the you know, just kind of like the community of it, you know, the everybody getting together, hanging out, some real characters there too, you know. I mean, at the end of Saturday night, I think you might have crashed by this point, but you know, they had you know, Alan Hicks and Dave Yates were trying, they were calling it out, hillbilly each other, which was pretty funny. We almost had a dip spit in you know, Olympics going on, so nasty. It would have been awesome. Yeah. I wasn't spitting or anything like that, or chewing or anything like that. But,
yeah, that's a nasty habit,
right,
man.
Can I? No, but it would have been funny to see that, though.
Yeah, Alan Hicks is a funny guy, hey, man.
He was hilarious. We can't neglect talking about the barbecue either.
Oh, the barbecue was
damn
so good.
Barbecue.
We went to this place called Carolina's Barbecue. It was about 3 miles from the hotel. And nothing fancy
little
or anything.
Little place that's right next to the entrance to the highway, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot with a gas station.
yeah, but the food was delicious.
Good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Oh yeah, it was damn good. We had all intention of doing that Friday night, but it turned out we went for sushi. So, but hey, that was great too, you know. But the barbecue was really, really good. Really enjoyed that.
Oh yeah, it was delicious. I had the Fat Man special, the three meats, and I had pork ribs.
Oh yeah.
I had pulled pork.
Yep.
And I also had some chopped chicken, which is they take the chicken off the bone and they marinate and cook it.
Yep.
And it was all delicious. It's all really good.
I had the chicken and the ribs. And never had this before, barbecue coleslaw. Awesome.
Yeah, that
it
was really
awesome.
Good.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. I don't know why it's what makes it barbecue coleslaw, but it was good.
Yep. Well, there was barbecue sauce in it, definitely, but it was good. It had a little nice little bit of heat to it, you know, just a teeny tiny little bit just to kind of hit you in the back. Just very, very, very minimal, but it's still really good.
Yeah, we had a big crowd at that. We had about, what, 20 people going to the actual dinner?
Not quite 20. I think it was like 17 of us who were all there. We filled up a whole room, and unfortunately, the girl who was serving us, her coworker had just quit on her. So we had come in with 17 people, and then the whole front of the building also filled up with people. So she was running around like a chicken with her head cut off.
Yeah, we left her a good tip, though. I know I did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did, too.
So I can't speak for everybody else, but you know, I know I get a very nice tip because it's tough being by yourself working in a place full of, you know, so many people.
Yep.
But the food was top notch. So if you're ever in Spartanburg, South Carolina, check out Carolina's Barbecue. Good stuff.
Exactly.
So, and that was that. We left after my presentation, and you know, another long ride back. And I was happy to be home.
Me and the last known god, we stuck it out through the downpours and the jackasses we saw driving on the road there. This one guy, man, he was trying to run somebody off the road. It was like right in the middle, and it was like, you know, almost like rush hour traffic. I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Come on.
You get assholes everywhere. There's no avoiding it. Doesn't matter where you are,
what
country.
Rolled in. we rolled into my house around about 3:30 in the morning or so.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that was, by the end there, man, I was dragging. I was dragging so bad.
Yeah. Yep. I'm pretty good with driving, and like, you know, when, once we got towards the near our house, we were driving around through these windy, semi-country roads with like, you know,
yeah,
fog everywhere, and you know, I'm having trouble keeping my eyes open, and you know, trying to focus on all the winding turns, middle of the night. Yep. But we got there okay. Dropped you off, and then once I got out of there, the fog was gone. I got home. I didn't actually get into bed until about 4 o'clock in the morning. But I
had to shower and everything like that, because I knew I wouldn't be able to fall asleep after sitting in the car like that for that.
I was out like a light, man. I unloaded my car and I went right to sleep. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, the reason why we did that was I didn't want to hang around until Monday, and you know, not see my wife and my kids until, you know, 7, 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Exactly. I didn't want to do that. Exactly. I wanted to, like, you know, even if I only got 4 or 5 hours of sleep, which, you know, I got a little bit more than that.
That was about it, yeah.
I was able to spend the whole day with them, so I was happy.
Great.
And I went to work the next day, so. But it took a few days to recover, and I think I'm finally 100% recuperated. My liver is feeling better.
Lots of beer.
They had an excellent beer selection at the hotel, by the way.
They had a really good beer selection.
For like just a, you know, any run-of-the-mill hotel, the beer selection was excellent. Mm-hmm. Let me see. They had Guinness. They had Stella. They had Hefeweizen beer, which was quite good.
Yep.
They had, what else? A couple of Mexican beers and a nice selection.
Yep. They had a pretty vast selection there.
I was impressed. So, good times, man.
I do have to say, too, if you're one of the... I was one of triplets down there, too, by the way. So I just want to give a nice little hey to those guys, if they happen to listen to. I was the bald guy with the goatee that wasn't wearing the kilt, so...
There was like three guys who looked like Dan at that show, and two of them were wearing kilts. Yep. It's pretty funny. They had the same kind of general look. You know, the shaved head with the dark goatee.
I just wasn't wearing a kilt.
Yeah. It's pretty funny stuff.
Dan did mention to me at one point, he's like, dude, go up and get a towel and wrap it around you and come down and we'll get a picture of the three of you together. So. We unfortunately didn't get a chance to do that.
That would have been funny.
I'd have been up for it, though.
That would have been funny.
Yeah.
That's funny stuff, but good times. You know, if they have it again next year, highly recommend it. You know, you'll meet a lot of cool Linux people, a lot of interesting stuff, and it's just a real good time. So I'm glad I went.
Me too. I had a blast.
Yeah. So I guess we'll talk about some other topics now. Let's see what else. We got an email from Cecil Watson, our friend from the Linhouse Project. They got a new release just came out. So check out Linhouse. Go to the website and download it. Those guys do a great job with that project. You know, one of the things I talked about in my talk itself was, you know, with these MIT-specific distros, it's really gotten really easy. You really can't go wrong if you run Mithbuntu, Linhouse, or Mithdora. All three are good. You can't go wrong with that, any one of those, you know. A lot of the stuff is configured out of the box. It's pretty easy to set up. And I really, truly believe that. So I highly recommend any of those three specific distros for people to check out and use. What else we got?
I had some spare hardware around that I would like to try them out more so than inside of just a virtual machine or something like that.
Well, I got a spare box, and Pat Archibald, he gave me an antenna to use for my presentation. I'm going to try seeing what channels I can get over the air, just out of curiosity over here. I'm going to bring the box upstairs and reset it and rescan for our local area and see what I can pick up. I don't think it's going to be very good. We're like in a weird spot over here. So if I can get, I'm guessing I'll get like two channels.
Right.
Just for curiosity's sake, I'm going to try it out and see what happens.
Yeah, I'll try it then too at some point. You know, it was something I always wanted to kind of try. I don't know how much I'm going to get in my basement here where my two recording boxes are. But it'd be worth a shot. You know, I imagine because of the location of my house and the proximity to a certain mountain that I am, that I probably would only be able to get Philadelphia stations, but it's worth a shot to give it to try it out and see.
Yeah, you're much closer to Philly than I am. I'm a good 20 miles east of you, probably a little less than that, 15.
And you're over top of that mountain, so you're most likely going to be getting the New York stuff.
Probably the Jersey stations.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll try it. I'll see. I'll let you guys know how it comes out and what I can pick up.
Supposedly, it's the best. It's the best way to receive, you know, any type of reception is the. It's just a straight over the air unencrypted, you know, content that's out there. Best picture quality. Now, granted, I think you'll get like hiccups every now and then as, you know, things affect the interference or whatever. But supposedly, it's the best type of quality that you can get.
Yeah, a lot of people rave about over the HD. And they say it's the best. It's not compressed as much as the satellite or the cable system. So
yeah,
it's a true HD signal. So if you're in a range of, you know, some channels, and what was that website? AntennaWeb.com?
AntennaWeb is one of them. What was another one?
The Silicon Dust website has a really good utility. It'll tell you what all the channels you should be able to pick up in your area.
TV. What was the one that Gadget Wisdom said?
Yeah, I forgot.
At the presentation. I forget what it is.
I forget which one it was too, but those two would work. Those websites.
You know, what you could do is just take one of your inputs out of your HD home run and just, you know, plug that guy right into there and rescan the one that you plugged it into.
Well, I doubt I'm going to pick anything up in the basement. I was going to bring up the spare box up to the second floor.
Gotcha.
And try it from there. If anything, if I was able to get a whole bunch of channels, I might be tempted to. Set up a box and put an antenna up in the attic, maybe.
Right.
I'll see how it goes. If I can only get like one or two channels, it's not worth it. But if I can get most of them,
right.
I might do it. But so it's been a while since we've been on, and I actually managed to pick up a Blu-ray DVD player. And the Blu-ray is nice. I picked up a Sony.
Yep.
And it's a nice box. You know, it plays the Blu-rays pretty nicely. I also got Avatar on Blu-ray, the movie, and that looks absolutely stunning on there.
Yeah.
But to be honest, the real thing that I'm really interested in about it was that the DVD player does Netflix streaming. Now, for the longest time, you know, I've been wanting to get some kind of device that was able to do Netflix streaming. You know, we've talked about it in the past, and I've been very disappointed with the fact that Netflix doesn't provide a native Linux desktop client, and I still feel that way. But on the other side of the coin is I really wanted to be able to try this. And Netflix, you can do like a basic subscription where you're allowed one DVD out at a time, a physical DVD, for like $8 a month. And for an extra $2, you can bump that up to Blu-ray, so all your DVDs are Blu-ray. And I did that, so I got the $10 plan, and you have unlimited streaming capability, so you can watch anything that they have available, as much as you want, on demand, any time of the day or night. And they have some HD content on there. They have a lot of TV stuff, you know, old TV shows that are archived, different seasons, some newer stuff on there from some of the cable networks, you know, like Showtime and HBO programming and whatnot. And the interface that's on the Sony DVD player is pretty basic, the Netflix player. You're not actually able to browse the catalog and select stuff to put into your queue. You're only able to see your queue, play them, and then after you've played it, you're able to delete it if you so choose to do so. So it's very basic. So you still need either a web browser on your computer to go in and make your selections, or you can use your... there's an app on the Android phone that I use called PhoneFlix, which pretty much does the same thing as the web browser. You go to a website, you can browse the catalog, you can add titles to your queue and whatnot. And that's what I use. So, but other than that, that only limitation, the quality is very good. The HD content is 720p. It looks really good. Mm-hmm. Even the standard def stuff is pretty decent. I had zero problems, you know, with buffering or anything like that. I was able to watch the stuff, no problems. And I'm very impressed by it. I'm very happy that I'm able to finally do it.
Yeah, I started up a Netflix account I guess it's about 2 months ago now, and I have the streaming set up as well from the Xbox 360 and from the Wii. So I haven't actually I got it set up on the Wii, but I actually haven't done it from the Wii yet because that's wireless and I can wire in the Xbox. And I tell you what, the picture quality does look great. I do get the added advantage of being able to manage my queue. I can go through, you know, they look at things I've previously watched and recommend things to me, you know, in different queues. Or I can just look at, say, what their new stuff is, what their new TV shows are out there, what their new, you know, in different genres, you know, in like a, you know, horror or, you know, comedy or action, adventure, mystery, you know, suspense, that type of stuff. They usually give you about 100 or so in each category, and I can add them all right to my instant play queue. Likewise, I can go in from the command or from the website and manage it all there as well. But I have been really impressed with it. I have been catching up on a lot of good stuff that I either haven't seen in a long time or just never really got around to watching. And it's been great. I'm really enjoying having that account set up now.
I mean, ask you,
please bring us a Linux binary.
Oh, yeah, they really need to do that.
Just give us the Linux binary.
Let me ask you, with the gaming consoles, what do? They send you a DVD that you put into the player? That boots up.
For the Wii, I had to. For the Xbox 360, whatever the last update it was, it had it built right into it. They added, like, you know, their own, you know, the Zune Marketplace, which I don't use. They've added, you know, Netflix. I believe there might even be an Amazon app on there. Supposedly, in the fall, Hulu is coming to it. I mean, I do Hulu now through you know, my Myth TV and whatnot, but, you know, the interface is very nice. I mean, I have the Harmony remote, so I just set up the Xbox 360 on my Harmony remote. It fires it up, and I can just navigate around. I don't need to pull out a controller or do anything like that. So it works really, really nicely.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to make a comment about you owning an Xbox 360, but that's
hey,
okay.
You know what? If I play games, I don't want to be sitting at a computer.
I understand.
All day long. You know, but if I play games, I'm just going to sit at the TV and play on a console. And at the time, I was very anti-Sony, so I wasn't going to buy a PlayStation 3. And a friend of mine said he was playing his Xbox 360 too much, so I bought it off him at a cheaper price. So I was like, all right, that'll be fine with a couple controllers and a bunch of games, you know?
Yeah, I had an HD DVD, and I still have it down here, an HD DVD player. And that thing works well, you know, it lost the format war. The thing that really annoyed me about the Blu-rays was that the price, even after they won the so-called deep format war, the prices of the players stayed kind of high. They were like at $200 for like the longest time. And just recently they just started to come down. So they were going for like $150, $160, you know, for basic players. Right. But one of the electronic stores near my office, the 6th Avenue Electronics, which is in New York and Jersey area. I've gotten plenty of stuff from them. In fact, I bought my Samsung HDTV from them not too long ago, and I bought all the stuff from them. They have very good sales in there, and they had the Sony deep Blu-ray player that everybody else had for like $150, $160 for $130, and they threw in a freebie Blu-ray of Avatar, so.
Right.
That was a good deal. So I jumped at it. And the fact,
Definitely.
And the fact that it did Netflix, and it also does Amazon, too, very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And some other stuff, too. There's a whole bunch of other content in there. Sony has this thing on their devices where you can, they call it the Sony Digital Concert Series, where you can go in and have a whole bunch of concerts in there. And I talked to somebody who had the Sony PS3, and they said for those concerts that you had to pay for it, but with the Blu-ray DVD player, it was a freebie. So I had there was a bunch of concerts that I could watch on demand anytime. And I actually watched Chickenfoot, which is, you know, it's basically Van Halen with Joe Satriani.
Yep.
Yeah, and I never even heard of that project until I saw the concert. You know, that just shows you how far out of it I am at music lately. It's like, I had no idea.
Come on, you got like a 50-minute commute. You don't hear any of that new
stuff? Dude, I'm like so into like podcasts now. I do not listen to the radio.
I know.
I've been like that for the last two, three years.
On my Santa, I've got like 8 gigabytes of music on there and then a couple gigabytes worth of podcasts. And I just never get to listen to the music anymore because it's all podcasts. Even whenever I get in the car, I just pop that thing in there and it just, you know, I just have the podcast going.
Yeah. I mean, I have my Nexus One and that works great. I use Doorcatcher for my podcast aggregation. And, you know, I don't have to sync anything up. You know, it's like, you know, I turn the phone on in the morning and I got all my podcasts to listen to. It's awesome.
Yep.
And if I want to listen to music, you know, there's plenty of, like, streaming audio apps on Android. You know, there's Pandora, there's Last.fm. So, you know, I really don't need to, like, put any music on it or listen to. There's plenty of stuff to listen to.
Right, yeah.
You know? But
I guess I figure I've been building up this collection for how long now, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, there's other stuff in there. Like, for instance, the World Cup is going on right now in South Africa.
Right.
And the other day, I saw a new item pop up in the menu. For it was like World Cup Archive. They had a whole bunch of, like, documentaries and old footage and stuff. It was pretty cool. It just showed up in there, and it's there, and I can watch it anytime.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so, you know, it's not bad. So, you know, I basically have a streaming box that I can use now, and it happens to play Blu-ray player. So it's a win. Mm-hmm. You know, Sony's not my favorite company as a company in the practices.
No, not mine.
But they do make quality products, I have to say. I have a Sony DVD player that I bought years ago, and the thing still works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's not crap. But, you know,
I wonder if there's a... if there's a rootkit on there sending back all the DVDs that you're playing.
Who knows? Probably. Who knows? You know what, though? A lot of these commercial video products, home theater products, they all do that crap. TiVo reports on what you're watching. You know, this Google TV thing that they announced at Google I.O. conference, you don't think that thing's not going to report what you're watching back to the different media companies?
But Google, you know, captures everything that you watch, and you just kind of deal with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so they're probably making money selling your information to whoever, you know. Now, that's personal information, but, you know, what you're watching. Yep. So to some people, that's personal. But, you know, hey, that's how they make their money, doing crap like that, you know.
Yep. It's the only real way to monetize any of that stuff, right?
Yeah, but I'm really happy with the Sony Blu-ray player. For the price that they were selling it at, $130, it was a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it upscales standard FDVD pretty nicely, and the few Blu-rays that I've tried out look really nice. I got the Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland. That looks really, really amazing. It looks nice. It looks great on the new Samsung. You know, it's the only 1080p content that you can get is on a Blu-ray player right now. So,
right. Keep an eye out because they were talking. I've been watching HD Nation quite a bit lately, and
what is that?
Now you can
is that a video podcast?
It's it's a video podcast. It's all about, you know, high def, you know, everything from components to movies to you name it. And it's on the Revision 3 network, and it's a you know, a couple of the guys who used to be on the Screensavers and whatnot, Robert Heron and Patrick Norton. You know those two.
Sure, I'm familiar with those guys.
I think it's another one. Yeah, and they are saying now that you can, you know, most. You know how you see at a grocery store or whatever, you see like a DVD rack right by the registers? Well, they're starting to see Blu-ray-only DVD racks, they've been saying. I don't have a Blu-ray player myself right now, so I haven't been looking for that type of stuff. But you could even like walking into a convenience store, they have them, and they're pretty cheap, you know, prices for these Blu-ray titles. So you might find a gem in there every now and then. I'm not going to say it's, you know, what's coming out, you know, tomorrow or anything like that, but... you never know. You might find something that you really liked or didn't realize was on Blu-ray, and you can get it for pretty cheap.
Yeah, the fact that, you know, seems like the Blu-ray discs are like $30 a piece kind of pisses me off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's complete.
Yeah.
That price range is complete fabrication. They're gouging you pretty much. So. I'm not planning on buying many Blu-ray titles. There's going to be a handful of movies.
Nope.
That I might consider buying.
Not with the Netflix account and the being able to stream it. You can rent the Blu-rays off of Netflix, but you can stream all the stuff anyway, you know.
Well,
there's no real reason to buy the things anymore.
The high def streaming is only 720p. So, you know, when you get a Blu-ray player, you know, the Blu-ray just you're watching 1080p content. So, I mean, it's a nice bump up. But yeah, I'm going to rent discs, you know, they're going to send me the Blu-ray discs through the mail through Netflix. You know, for $10 a month plus the streaming. That's a great deal. I mean, you know, the local cable companies, you know, they charge, they'll have like an HBO package where they'll have like in between 4 and 6, you know, 4 and 8 HBO channels for like $20 a month. You know, honestly, all those channels, you know, not too long ago, we had a freebie for 3 months, you know, because they nuke people's cable boxes during the Olympics. They gave everybody free 3 months.
Yeah, during the Olympics, man.
They gave everybody free HBO for 3 months. Honestly, there wasn't a hell of a lot that I recorded. I recorded a handful of movies and stuff. That's about it, man. Most of the rest of the stuff that's on those channels is absolute crap. Not worth $20 a month, in my opinion.
I mean, if you have it as a part of your account, you get the on-demand stuff for free, which is kind of nice. I almost kind of wish they would just charge me for the on-demand portion of it and not... because there sometimes every now and then you'll find something on there that you want to watch, but it's never on at the time that I want to watch, so I just would, you know, go through their on demand for it occasionally. You know, that it's that type of stuff, you know, that I would prefer to have, but, you know, with these other options available to me now, I haven't done that anywhere near what I was before I had, like, the Netflix set up.
Have you done any, like, on-demand video rentals from the cable company? HD stuff?
I have, yeah.
HD?
Yeah, I have, and it's you know, considering I'm paying the $8.95 or whatever it is for the Netflix, you know, I'm paying $5.99 for a movie.
That's,
you know,
expensive, man. They're gouging you. They're totally gouging you.
It is. Now I'm okay with almost if they were to do it, you know, for like an immediate first run movie. Okay, so it's coming out on demand the same time it's coming out in the theaters. I think we've talked about this before, but, you know, I've got two little kids. My wife and I, we can't get out to the movie theater, you know, depending upon, you know, the kids and her work schedule over the weekends and stuff like that. We just can't make it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you.
We would definitely be willing to pay extra money for it for the first time that it comes out and be able to watch it in our house, you know, without having to go to the theater. And, you know, I mean, by the time we were to, say, have a babysitter and, you know, dinner and all that stuff, and then the movies itself, you know, you're talking it's quite a bit of money just to go see a movie.
Just to go to,
you know,
movies, yeah.
I can pay, you know, an extra amount of price, you know. They're talking about doing that, but they're also talking about implementing that selective, you know, output control on the cable boxes, which is really going to screw some people if they're, you know, you have to be able to have HDMI to do that, and a lot of people aren't going to have the HDMI on their existing even high-def TVs, or there's a lot of people still don't have high-def TVs. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's something they really need to work through. I think it's a good idea in theory that they'll be able to, you know, charge a little bit more for the first-time movies being played, first-run movies being played. But you can't just shut people's TVs off or cable boxes off on a whim because of that.
Yeah, you know? It's outrageous that they do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I was getting back to the Netflix, for $10 a month, so you're able to have unlimited single disc, actual Blu-ray discs out at a time. So say on average you watch 3 to 4 discs you get in a month. So say you watch four discs in a month. So right there, that's $2.50 per rental, which is actually, you know, a little less than what you actually go if you went to, like, you know, a Blockbuster Video, whatnot, or some other chain.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's very similar to what you used to pay at like a Blockbuster.
Yeah, they're actually more money now. They're $3 plus now. But that, you know,
are they?
Yeah, so, you know,
I haven't been to Blockbuster in forever.
so for $10 a month, you get those four discs, okay, a month, okay, say, plus anything on the streaming side. That's a good deal, man. That is a good deal compared to the cable company and what they were offering. Now, the Amazon.
What I've really been liking a lot.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, I was going to say, what I've really been liking a lot with the Netflix streaming is that they've added all the old, like, Alfred Hitchcock titles in there. So I was watching one from 1935 called The Man Who Knew Too Much, and I tell you what, for the quality that they could transfer it over, it was pretty damn good. And it was able to just stream to me, you know, and it was a 4x3, you know, movie, but it looked pretty damn good in black and white considering it was created in 1935.
Yeah, there's tons of great stuff on there. Yeah. You know, you know, I'm a big fan. I used to love the Munsters and the Addams Family. All that stuff is on there. Also, there's a bunch of TV shows that I like that I wasn't able to catch when they were on. I was watching that show, Dead Like Me. It was on for like two seasons. Great show.
Yeah.
Absolutely great show. I'm like towards the end of the first season, and I'm gonna watch the second season. I got to watch Spartacus: Blood and Sand, which I caught a few episodes on the cable, but I missed most of them, so I was able to watch the whole series. And then, excellent series. I highly recommend it. A little on the gory side, so if you're a bit squeamish, don't watch it, but if you don't mind that stuff, it's a good series and definitely worth the watch.
Yep.
What else? Some old shows, like Buck Rogers from the 25th Century. I used to love that show when I was a kid. That's all on there. There's the original Battlestar Galactica complete series on there. You know,
That's not on streaming, though.
No, yes, it is.
Then it must have just came, because I was looking for it.
I've been watching it.
And the only way that I could get it on there was to just throw it in my normal queue.
No, it's in the streaming.
I'm gonna go check it right now.
Yep, they got Battlestar Galactica, the original series, and they have Battlestar Galactica 1980, but we'll pass on that one.
Okay.
If you've seen it, you know what the hell I'm talking about.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's horrible. Watch
it. That's what I mean. I'm getting back. I'm getting back to all these things that I always wanted to watch and never got a chance to.
Yeah, so for like old, you know, old TV shows, it's great. Another thing that's on there is, you know, you got little kids like me, is there's a lot of like kids stuff on there. You know, there's my youngest son is 3 years old, so he's still into like the Wiggles and stuff. There's a ton of like Wiggles this on there that you can watch in the video titles. Right. He loves that crap, and being able to watch that show on demand, he wants to watch it as much as he can. There's some Sesame Street stuff. There's a few of the movies on there. There's no Muppet Show. That was a little bit of a disappointment. I used to love the Muppet Show when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
And my wife was a big fan of that, too, so we kind of wanted to get the kids to check it out. They do have a couple of the movies from the Muppets. They had, like, Muppet Treasure Island and Muppets from Space, but they didn't actually have the whole series. If they had that, that would have been great. They have Fraggle Rock. You remember Fraggle Rock from HBO? Early
80s? Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, those are on there. Yep. I mean, there's tons of good stuff on there. A lot of nuggets worth watching. You know, you mentioned the Alfred Hitchcock stuff. Great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know...
Now, what we've been doing is we've been adding the... adding, like, some of the Disney Pixar ones that might... You know, that you may not be able to get right now. And, so we'll have, like, you know, we'll have, like, a pizza and a movie night with the girls, you know, because they love pizza and they like to watch the, you know, the movie. So we were doing that with Cars just before, so... I mean, it's great, and that's not wasn't a streaming one, but it was one that just happened to come down, you know, in the queue, and we save it for a special night with them, and you know, it'll be something special that we do every now and then, you know.
Yeah. So, like I said, $10 is not a bad deal. I really wish I had a native Linux client, and we would be able to put this directly into MythTV. Just put a menu entry, kind of like what we did with the Hulu player. That would be ideal. If
Netflix, take a cue from Hulu. They were able to do it. Why can't you?
There is no reason technically that they can't. It's all a business decision whether or not they want to. To me, it would make business sense. Yep. If they want to get more and more people on there, you got to make it available to all the different platforms. You know,
exactly.
And supposedly they're going to have a Netflix client for Android. I mean, come on. Do one for Linux already, people.
That's
come on.
Linux, man. Come on.
Linux. Get your act together, Netflix. But the Amazon video streaming is pretty nice, too. Those run, you know, in the range of $2 for, like, a standard def video and the $3 to $4 range. Well, actually, $2 to $4 range, depending on which title you have. They have run specials every once in a while. And I did watch one of them in HD, and it looked really good. It looked really nice, and I was pretty impressed by the quality of that.
You know?
So as long as you got, like, I don't know, maybe five megabits down, you're probably okay. I don't know what the minimum is, three megabits down.
Well, I believe it'll scale it, you know, depending upon your connection. Like, I actually, when I was watching it on the Xbox 360 the one night, it actually paused for a second, and it said, your connection has decreased, I'm going to scale the video appropriately, and it just reconnected back up exactly where it left off, and
lower quality.
I didn't notice any difference. Yeah, but see, I didn't notice any difference in quality. You know, I mean, it was one of those older movies, so it was a little kind of grainy to begin with, you know, so I didn't actually notice any difference in quality, you know, so...
So your internet connection took a dive, but you were able to still watch it.
Yep, I was able to still watch it, you know, and it came across pretty good, so...
Well, that's not too bad, then. So I've been enjoying my Blu-ray player and more of the online content than the actual... Blu-ray watching. I've only seen a couple movies on there with the Blu-ray player. I've been using the crap out of it with the streaming stuff. And you can watch YouTube stuff. So if you have a YouTube account and you have like all of your favorites and you subscribe to the different channels, you get all that stuff, no problem.
Yep.
So not bad at all. So that's all I got to talk about this week. A little light, man, because you know we're covering from Southeast Linux Fest. Do you have any other topics you want to bring up, Dan?
Nope, I'm good for this week, I think.
Did you have you mentioned to me you had a problem with your secondary backend? You did an upgrade on it?
Oh, no, that was back when I did the upgrade that I had the issue with it installed the Grub PC package and I think it replaced Grub 2, whatever they did from 9.10 to
Did you shoot me an email and one of the init scripts wasn't starting up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I that was that was something that I was, I guess I was doing. I did an upgrade, and I saw that these init scripts are still around. I periodically would go in, and for some reason, like, my box would need to be reset or something like that, I would just go in and fire off the MythTV backend script to reconnect the, you know, say my secondary backend to the master backend. And when I went in there after this update occurred, they were no longer there. And I was jumping around, you know, on the IRC, and I was talking to John Babb, who we've talked to before for Myth Export. He said to me that, you know, they switched over to using Upstart for respawning the master backend if it should die on us. And I knew that, and I just forgot about it, and I guess those scripts just finally got cleaned up on my box, and so I didn't, you don't need to reboot or do anything like that, but that was what surprised me, was I rebooted and the both backends connected back up, so I was like, how is this happening if the script isn't there? And then I realized, or after talking with John, I realized that, oh yeah, the Upstart stuff is taking care of all of that, and those scripts are no longer needed, so... you'll mostly, if you run in Mythbuntu, you'll find that those scripts are gone now. They should be gone now, and you can just, you know, re-kick off the master backend just by typing in restart MythTV-backend, and that should initiate the upstart process if you need to manually do it.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So I just was, when I had sent that message to you, I was like, oh, well, I don't know what happened here, but it's still running, so something's going on. But it all ended up working out in the end. So.
Well, that's good. So some other things coming up. I'm going to try tuning in some over-the-air stuff with that antenna that Pat Archibald had given me on that test box.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'm going to kill that test box. I'm going to turn that test box into my audio box, and then I think I'm going to donate my audio box. It's an old AMD system.
There you go.
Yeah, it's not even like a, it's like a single core AMD. It's an old box.
Linuxbox.org?
Yeah, I'm gonna donate a box so that I'm gonna clear that out. Get rid of the old crappy hardware and go with something a little newer.
Right.
So it's nothing flashy. The test box that I got is like a 1.6 gigahertz AMD 64, so it's a little faster than the current audio box setup that I have, so it's nothing too complicated.
Right.
And my audio setup, I'm running Studio 64, which doesn't appear to be updated anymore, so it's getting a little old in the tooth. So I'm going to try one of the other audio-specific Linux distributions. You know, like how we have MythTV-specific distros? Well, there's audio-specific distros for, like, high-end recording, you know, stuff that uses stuff like our Doran jack and whatnot. So I'm going to try one of the other variants and see how that works out and what the test box. And eventually,
There's Klaatu's Slacker Media project.
Yeah, that's an interesting project. Check that out.
Yeah, he does it for, it's more, I think it's more general purpose that he can finally tune it to be a audio specific or video specific, but it's more general in the beginning. Not something I really had a chance to look into yet, but from what it sounds like a pretty interesting project he has going.
Definitely. So I'm all talked out for this week. It's a short episode. Like I said, we're recovering from Southeast Linux Fest. As soon as the talks that I did are available, I'll probably cut that into two separate episodes and put them on the feed, so you'll be able to hear the presentation that I did. And if the video comes out, I'll post the link so that people can see my ugly face on the video if they want to choose to do that. I have a perfect face for radio, so.
Yeah, don't we all?
Yeah. Yeah, if I was meant to be on TV, I would be on TV. So we'll leave it at that.
Yep.
So I'm all talked out. How about you?
Yep, I'm good.
All righty then. So we're going to wrap everything up. You guys can get in contact with us on Twitter. Pat Davila on Twitter. I'm also on Identica, the same name. Pat, P-A-T, Davila, D-A-V-I-L-A. Dan, you're also on those two, right? What's your ID on there?
I am DM Fry on everything. DM Frey on Twitter, Identica, Facebook, you name it.
Yep, and you can also email us Pat at MythTVcast.com and Dan at MythTVcast.com. And also we're on Buzz too now too, so.
Yep.
We're everywhere. So if you got a comment, suggestion, want to drop us a line, let us know. And we'll talk to you soon. Hopefully more sooner than the last episode.
Exactly.
All right, guys. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Okay. Bye.
See you later.
Changing.